This is WBAA. I'm Mike Lowitzo. The year is 1922, and Warren Harding is president.
America's present need is not heroic, but healing. Not nostrums, but normalcy.
Playing in the dance halls was Lonesome Hours. And the best picture at the Oscars was still 7 years away from being announced. It was a big year for Purdue, as Ross-Ade Stadium was dedicated in November prior to the homecoming game against Indiana. And in April, the FCC licensed a radio station to the university with the call letters WBAA. But before that, Purdue students and faculty were already experimenting with radio. In his book, The Story of Purdue Engineering, author H.B. Knoll writes that a radio signal engineering program was offered in 1920 after World War I showed there was a need for trained soldiers. Interest grew from there.
Professors Raymond Achatz and David Kirtner, with student help, built Purdue's first transmitting and receiving radio set. Time after time, they were promised that a training outfit would be shipped to them, but they received only descriptive pamphlets. The outfit not arriving, they studied the plans and decided they had the parts for making one. The set they made was a success.
The station was officially licensed April 4th, but it was 2.5 weeks later until the first broadcast aired.
This program used materials supplied from Washington, D.C., and was offered in observance of Arbor Day. About 3 weeks later, a broadcast was made of a convention held in Lafayette by the League of Women Voters. There was much satisfaction when reports were received that local fans had heard the talks quite clearly.
At first, WBAA was only allowed to broadcast from 3 to 5 in the afternoon, and again from 7 until 9:30 at night. Knoll writes, even those hours were not always programmed.
The practice for a time was to broadcast only on Monday and Friday evenings. There were also some special broadcasts made after midnight using local talent, such as faculty wives who could sing.
Soon, listeners from surrounding communities began to respond to the station, with calls coming in from Frankfort, Delphi, Romney, and Fowler. 1925 was another notable year. December 5th, music from a student union mixer was broadcast for the first time on WBAA. The blurb in the Purdue Pharmacist Journal noted a direct line was installed between the ballrooms and the radio station in the old electrical engineering building. It explained that several reports of people hearing the broadcast were received, and a great part of them were of a complimentary nature. With that, the event was deemed a success, and it was noted more such broadcasts from the union would be planned. The School of Pharmacy must have learned the power of radio from that mixer broadcast, because it would partner with WBAA in the years following. The collaboration included daily conversations on the station during National Pharmacy Week, and what was likely a big hit, Apothecary Radio, every Friday afternoon. The goal was to give listeners a greater appreciation for what their retail druggist does to protect their health. On its fifth anniversary, a new professor, John Stafford, had the responsibility of overseeing the station, and WBAA moved into space on the third floor of the new Electrical Engineering Building. About that time, it was also catching the attention of the Board of Trustees. Board minutes from the Purdue Archives show the cost of operating WBAA in 1926 was $3,400. That would be about $43,000 today. The trustees approved a line item just for the station in 1928. The university would spend $3,000 for WBAA the following year, so the School of Electrical Engineering would not have to use its funds. The cost of operating the station would always be a contentious issue. Over the years, the Board of Trustees examined whether WBAA was worth the expense, and several times debated selling the station. It was thanks to the passionate engineering professors, students, and employees of the station that kept WBAA on the air and here today. Mike Lowitzo, WBAA News.